this is their raw rough estimate. What was the one they gave us a year and a half ago?
Raw rough estimate.
What did we wait a year and a half for?
Because we asked them
to put all... Are, you can't call them both the same thing. This is not. This is more than a raw rough estimate.
Well, this is an updated estimate based on
research and much more understanding from the county what's required.
Correct.
So they needed more data to give us a much more precise, I won't say precise, a much more accurate bid estimate, correct?
Correct. Okay. So that's correct.
Thank adding you. ADA requirements and other things that they left out in the initial one.
Okay, good.
Presentation from Terracon or
no? I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, so we'll bring back to the next board meeting. I think what I heard is what staff puts together in terms of cost to operate that it would cost to operate the pool, the things that
both.
President Pease. Yeah. Okay.
Both a refurbished and the new one.
We've seen.
Okay, we'll bring that.
So you had done that before. That was noted by one of the residents. I think look at that, refine that, remind us. That was quite a while ago that we had that presentation. And we were looking at it like this. It's a different
and also, we need to compare what we have invested in the current refurbishment, because we stopped it, and what is the continued on. If we do the refurbishment, it's going to cost X. If we do a bigger pool, it's going to cost X. So we need to kind of weigh that out also.
Okay, we bring this back under an action item so that we can either get a decision on moving forward with an RFP or some other direction from the board.
Would the revenue numbers that you talk about be, or expenditure numbers be any different than the approved budget numbers that were already factored in?
Julie, answer that.
You're looking at this year's current budget. I have estimates for a partial year for 2021 for the refurbished pool, and the next year I have a full year in there. They're just estimates with the information that I had with the
time. My question is though, would those numbers be any different after staff analyzes it more? Or are they going to be the same numbers?
There's a possibility, but I heard that you guys also wanted an estimate made for a large pool.
Correct.
So there's some work to do on that. I could do both. I did do it at budget time. We made the choice to put the small budget, to put the small pool budget numbers into the budget. I can dust it off and take another look at it. I think it would be worth looking at it one more time.
Well, in order to make an informed decision, we need to have all the data in one place at one time under this particular item.
Yeah. In addition, I would like staff to go back and work with Terracom too on that number and see if there's any refining that can be done.
We will work on this and bring that information back to us.
And this will be brought back as an action item. A possible action item on the next agenda. Is that correct?
We could do that. We need a multiple of action items, though. The action items would be whether we refurbish the current sized pool, whether we go ahead with a bigger pool, and whether we have no pool.
Those can be the three choices brought back in the action item. Well, to move forward with an RFP.
Correct. If we were to decide to go forward with a bigger
pool. So those will be the three options that we will provide, and then we will bring you the data in order for you to make that selection.
That would be great.
Correct.
Okay. I would think that's what we're kind of looking for.
Okay. If we have that.
Okay. And with that, we're going to move on to the discussion regarding the county landscape zones.
Yes. At the July 23rd, 2020 special board meeting, staff was tasked with contacting the county and obtaining specific information concerning the landscape zones in our jurisdiction. Staff telephonically met with County Public Works and Leah of Supervisor Burgess's office, and you asked for a report back on that information, so I have that. So we asked them When determining how much money will be funded to the town to maintain each zone, how does the county determine how much money the county will withhold from the total assessment revenue generated in each zone? Because there's fluctuating amounts in each zone and fluctuating percentages that change every year. The county said that they do not have a set formula for any of the zones. The monies are held back for administrative costs and in reserves. And this is depending on the needs of each zone. Each budget year is determined on its own. Zones with escalators have assessment raises based on a county engineering report, much like we do in Zone 9. Zones without an escalator, such as Zone 57, do not see any annual increase. Next question to them was, do the same rates apply and the same retention methodology apply to all other areas in the county? And we asked them to provide some examples of this in other areas of the county. He said that Discovery Bay is unique in that we have a public agency contract relationship with them for landscape services. We are the only CSD with a county contract. When we have issues, we can ask for extra money to be taken out of reserves if any money is there. I asked them, I said, we don't have the opportunity to help underfund some of these zones with a general fund. But if you go to the city of Brentwood, they have general funds that help underwrite some of the distressed areas, and we don't have that, but the county does. Can we capitalize on any of your general fund money? And their response was, well, there may be some discretionary money in the CAO, which is the Chief Administrative Officer's office, that we could apply for, but that's totally discretionary and it'd have to be for a unique reason. And they're saying, given this current year with the COVID impact on the budget, it's not very likely we would get any sympathy or any monies out of the county administrator's office. They did say that any unspent funds in a particular zone from one year, we can seek to ask for those funds to be spent in the current year, and those funds can be applied to an independent contractor. So we could use funds to contract with somebody to do it. Again, they said we're unique. There's no other similar relationship with any other agencies in the county, but they made some comments, and I'll share with you the comments. They said that other zones across the county are suffering landscape problems that are worse in Discovery Bay. Some other zones in the county run out of money months before the end of the fiscal year, and no landscape services are provided for during that time. Out of 10 landscapers in the county, there are only 6 left, and finding replacements is difficult. They said if the county were to provide the services to Discovery Bay, they could not provide the level of service that Discovery Bay is providing. They said that the landscaping complaints around the county are so pervasive that they are commonplace. So we want to continue to work collaboratively with the county to try to address issues that are occurring in the zone. So I think this relationship is one where we've had some talks. We're going to be looking to find any money that was left on the table from prior years to help assist us in current years, asking for them to release more of their reserve funds where we work together in identifying projects that will benefit each zone. So I think there was that benefit of making that contact with them. I would also like to tag on to this zone discussion along with Zone 8, which will be presented by Bill in the next item, and that is to say that, you know, part of our struggle is catching up with all the weeds and catching up with cleaning up with all the things in the zone and along with Zone 8. And so we met with the Park and Recreation Committee earlier today. We have some outside contract numbers that we feel are doable, and we're going to pull the trigger on getting some cleanup done, which is weed removal, brush removal, that kind of stuff in several of our zone areas. And that should help us catch up. And we'll be doing some, doing that also in areas where we haven't contracted to do that. So we're gonna try to improve our workforce to get caught up on these weeds and clean the area up. And that's a little separate from what Bill Engelman will be talking about in terms of that $100,000 that we mentioned for getting Zone A refreshed, which is different than just a cleanup. Do you have any questions on that?
No, sooner the better.
We'll get started on that right away. So we'll get started on the contracting, but we'll also probably be asking to bring back the Zone 8 stuff with a plan to the Park and Rec Committee. We'll talk about that on the next item.
One quick item. Do we know when the county completes their budget? Have they completed it, or is... I've got a specific question for that.
January,
I believe, is when they start developing their budget, which gets approved, I believe, in the same time in July.
Okay.
No, they do 2 years, and it's in January.
Okay.
Well, Supervisor Burgess gave me a phone call because she understood that we weren't happy with the numbers that were getting reimbursed from the landscape. And she mentioned to me that as soon as they got their budget completed, which I was led to believe would only take another 3 or 4 weeks, that she would be able to dedicate some time to help resolve that, along with another item, which was the ordinance for the fences that have fallen down, et cetera. So I'm confused if she had indicated to me that she could get on this when the budget is completed, and we're going to have to wait all the way to January?
We can follow up with Supervisor Burgess's office on that.
Yeah, and just verify where we, when they, go ahead.
Are you asking about the zone budget?
No. The complete budget.
County budget,
yes.
Okay, I was answering for the zone budget.
Okay.
We did them from January. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought you were asking about
Thank
that.
You. So that's the question. Before I try to push back a little bit and try to help get this thing going again, I just need to know when they're done. I don't know when they finish it. So
we can reach out to Supervisor Burgess's office try to solicit what kind of help she can provide us and providing any kind of supplementary funds.
Well, yeah, it's just a matter of, she indicated she would look into this exact item about how the allocation of funds are and why they hold the reserves and this and that after they got through their budget approval process. So we need to verify they're done with that, and now we can put a little pressure on them.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
That concludes my report on that.
Thank you. With that, then, we'll go on to the discussion, possible action for contracting landscaping in Zone 8.
So I will run, before you have the Zone 8 landscape enhancement cost worksheet, I'll just run through you on how that was kind of developed. The first column obviously is the area, and that second column is the square footage of those areas that need to be enhanced. So we had to make some assumptions, the contractor and myself, so he can provide apples to apples comparison. So we said 50% of that square footage needs to be enhanced, and 50% is suitable material that can be kept. The other assumption is that we would use 5 5-gallon plants for 200 square feet per area. So going through the numbers, the outside contractor using just fabric, mulch, plants. These are the numbers for each of those areas. Clippers 169. Discovery Bay 2, Willow Lake is 139, and Newport Drive 810. Two more, the fourth and fifth columns are in-house costs. The first in-house cost is using some variety of rock accents and boulders. The next in-house cost is just using the fabric mulch and plants. So if we were to do an in-house strategy, obviously, we wouldn't start until some of the seasonal maintenance items slow down in November, which would allow myself and my staff to get caught up along with outside contractors with the weeds, the irrigation, and some of that things.
That's the presentation?
That's the presentation.
Oh, okay. Question or comment?
Oh, we went over this fairly in depth during the Park and Rec meeting.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, Bill, once again, thank you again for putting this together. I think this is definitely very encouraging numbers. They certainly are a lot more reasonable than what was initially anticipated. Just to add some clarity to this for the rest of the board members, Bill and his team completed a project at Poe in Zone 9, and he kind of mimicked it at the front entrance with this new kind of dryscape landscaping theme. If you haven't been over to Poe and taken a look at that, I encourage you, because it's an incredible a thought process as far as the way they laid it all out. What I'm trying to get at here is it's very refreshing. I feel like now we finally have a strategy and a plan to tackle all Discovery Bay and do some major landscape improvement projects. So, thank you.
My question on the, I've been by the Pro project because I kind of watched it as it proceeded. What was our anticipated time frame to get that completed when you first kind of put it together?
When we first did it, it was if we were to go on it hard full time for 4 to 5 weeks.
And what did it actually take us?
I think it took 10 to 11.
For multiple reasons, I'm sure.
For multiple reasons, pulling guys off to do other things.
Right, so that leads me to the question about the approximate time frames to do the items that you've outlined on this new plan for Zone 8. I just don't have confidence that those time frames are reasonable based on our past history.
So the time frame, Poe was took longer than anticipated. The time frame on the front entrance was 2 weeks. Friday will be 2 weeks since we started. It's 99.5%.
Right, but where I'm going is once we get our crews involved in doing a landscape product, and then also being able to do the regular the mowing and the weeding and all the things that still has to go on, whether these numbers, these time frames are adequate, that's my only
question. Right, and I think the idea was to, if we did get behind on some of this regular maintenance items, is to call out a contractor to catch us.
Bring in some extra help.
Bring in extra help.
All right.
I would say keep an eye on watering, because when I started to take a look more closely at the parks, Cornell to me was very dry, and it looked like it was just stress from lack of water. Is there a reason for that? Are our sprinkler heads bad? Did
the
we have a bad program?
The lawn or the?
The whole lawn.
The lawn. There is an irrigation pump issue.
Okay, so there is a reason, because to me, Cornell looked worse. Slifer, Regatta, they look great.
Yes.
Well, maybe not great, but really good. And in Cornell, also the edging around the homes.
The outside.
Again, stressed when you look.
Yeah.
They were all.
There's definitely an irrigation issue.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an area that as if we choose to do something like this, irrigation becomes critical, because you don't want to put a plant in and then have it die 2 weeks later because of lack of water.
Yeah.
And irrigation may be simple. You know, irrigation could be something that's
right.
Simple, or maybe time consuming.
The idea with the contractor cleanup is we would follow through with the crew to make sure that irrigation.
Good. Okay. Thank you. And if I can say, I think the front looks really good. It does.
Yeah.
I think you've done a great job.
A good improvement. The staff report says that you start, if we went ahead and did this, you'd like to start on Newport and then switch over to Clipper. My personal feeling is that Clipper needs more help right away than Newport. I don't know if there's a reason why.
Well, the idea of October, we're still doing some of those more routine maintenance tasks, but that is open for discussion, whether where we start is.
I don't know, I think.
Clipper's a high traffic area, everybody sees it.
So what we'd like to do is bring that plan back to the Park and Rec Committee, and we'll work with them on timing and getting this going. And of course, when we begin this project, we'll keep you informed through the Park and Rec Committee. And like Bill said, if we start to fall behind somewhere while we're doing this, we will contract out to have those areas cleaned up so that we can kind of keep pace and not let things get as bad as they were before.
All right.
So that's the general plan.
All right, but I don't know if you guys discuss Clipper or Newport first or second.
You tell us what you want, and we'll make sure that's part of our recommendation at the very. So just to be clear, we didn't discuss the order of things at this point. We wanted you to get them, because you know we had a special board meeting. We want to make sure that we're bringing back to you as a committee and with Bill's help a plan, which is what we wanted to do. And I just want to clarify that. Our recommendation to Park and Rec is that we go ahead and move forward with the in-house cost with some rocks and enhancements that are going to fit into what's already been done. Well, there's already some rocks on Clipper, but they'd be enhanced with some other rocks, which would kind of be the middle column. And we can, unless there's a reason seasonally or anything else why it can't happen, we'll take any direction that you guys want to go with. Staff will take whatever direction you guys want to go. If you want to start at Clipper and there's no reason not to, I don't see why we don't. I agree.
All right.
I think the design that you put out in the front with the rock, it was coming together, but once the rocks got put in place, I think that made a big difference.
Just jumped,
I like it, yeah.
Well, and also the cobblestones were there, but until you enhance them, you didn't see them. So.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why we couldn't start? Was there any particular reason for that?
For starting with Newport?
Yeah.
That was an easy bang out project in October when we're still doing some of those.
So I appreciate that, but I think that as the directors are saying over here, I think really it's gonna get done. So that's going to help some of the feedback we're getting from the public, and I don't think the public's gonna judge the completion as much as seeing us make progress. Am I reading that correctly? And so whether you're making progress on Clipper or you're finishing a project on Newport, I actually tend to agree that making progress on Clipper is going to affect more people and show more people what our abilities are and how well we're trying to make up for the last 4 or 5 years when we've been short on funds and maybe not done the way it should have been done and let it get to this point.
And
so,
and also my two cents on that would be to break it into sections, Clipper, break it into sections, and you don't have to go one after another. Do some here, you could jump that section and jump the next section, and that way you're getting down the street faster and then come back and do the fill.
There's two ways to look at it. Also, people can think, well, what'd you skip that area for? Why'd you?
That's
but
true.
But nonetheless, he's that was
a big,
already
a big sign that says coming soon.
Coming soon to a theater near you. But that what you read perfectly, Director Peace. He did discuss that was going to it was obviously going to be done in kind of block sections, and then we can show some progress. And if it's okay, if it doesn't affect your schedule or your costs, I'd say move forward with Clipper.
So I think we have direction to just get her done.
I believe so.
I think you're right on target, Mr. Manager. Do we have any public comment?
Bill Helfrich, please.
Go ahead.
I think this is great, all this work that you're going to do. What I would like is an explanation of where all this money is coming from. Zone 8 has been getting $630,000 from the county roughly every year. And the in round numbers, you've been spending about $300,000 on the Zone 8 landscaping and lighting, and the other $300,000 has gone into operating the community center. Did we have some reserves somewhere that I haven't seen before? That's my question, to see if somebody can answer that later.
We'll have that,
thank you.
We'll have that question addressed on our presentation when it comes back.
Perfect.
Any other public comment?
Yeah, this is Mike Lawrence. I just got a couple quick questions. Is Poe finished now? And if it is, why didn't we do the weeding on both sides of the street all the way down to the park? It looks like somebody started about 20 feet in and then just gave up and walked away and we're done. And then question two is it going to be the norm now? Because I got a call to get the lawns mowed at Ravenswood Park. Grass is dying in certain areas. You brought Trimbrain out, I guess, to take care of the weeding. But the four corners and everything else around the park are still full of weeds. Post Street's got weeds almost tall. Been there since the movement. But it's just an ongoing, I don't really give a whatever attitude. And I got that from your boss. So that's all I got to say.
All those items are going to be addressed shortly. Any other public comment?
Yeah, this is Andy Parra. I live over in the Timber Point area as well. And I moved here in 2000, and I have noticed a real decrease in, basically a lack of any landscaping done at all. There's, I'm 6 foot tall. There's weeds taller than I am. And I see that there was some money spent at the corner of Timber Point and Poe, but it seems like they spent money on just the corners and didn't touch anything else, and the rest of the community and the whole area around there, and this area anyway, has been untouched. Somebody did come through. I saw a gentleman there working on Preston who came through and did each side of the street just to, almost to the corner and stopped, and nobody's been back since. And it just, for me, it's a real shame that we're talking about spending all this money on other things, and we can't even take care of the way the place looks when you pull in. It's like having a decrepit house, taking all your money and then painting one door on the side of the house and saying, oh, we did a good job. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Hi, Dougie McMahon. I just have a couple questions. Well, first of all, I know you're working with like a skeleton staff and you guys have this new plan going into place. It sounds great. I'm really excited about that. My question is, what I'm confused about is, are we just waiting for the weeds to die in the winter and then we're starting fresh? I get that there's a concern of like wasting work time pulling stuff out that's just going to be replaced anyway because you're rolling out a new plan, but can we get some kind of plan for the current issues, like the irrigation at Cornell and the weeds that are taller than 6 feet, for now while that's being worked on? Or are we just so short-staffed that we have to focus on the new plan and that's it? So that's my question for either this meeting or next.
Thank you for your input. Those items is what we were talking about a little later. So you'll see some improvement very shortly. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing no public further comment, we'll close that item. And we're going to move to item I, General Manager's report, please.
Yes, as you know, Director Lee has resigned his position effective tomorrow.
He's still there.
He's hanging in there. And so the question becomes, how do we fill Director Leet's seat? And at this point, I'm going to turn this over to our legal counsel for an explanation on that. Rod?
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And I'd be remiss if I said we weren't going to miss Director Lee. You will be missed. So we have a vacancy in the middle of an election. We have done the legal research, and
we have concluded that the appointment needs to be made for a vacancy within 60 days. And it is a shall, not a may, in the law. So you shall make an appointment of a vacancy within 60 days. If you fail to do so, it can be turned over to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors can make an appointment. If the Board of Supervisors fail to do so, it can be turned over to the governor. So within the next 60 days, what we are recommending is that notice be provided that there is a vacancy to be filled and an appointment will be made. You can interview, you can take applications. It is all done in a public setting, and so we can schedule it for the next meeting if that is your direction. But you would post notice that there is a vacancy and the term would expire in 2022. The election will go on and move forward. The two incumbent members are not allowed to apply for the vacancy by way of appointment. And the public in general can apply regardless of whether you are running in the election or not. And that appointment will be made. If that appointment is made to a member that it or an individual that is also identified in the election, and that individual wins or places second, because we have two spots for an election purpose, if that member that is appointed wins or places second in the election, they will vacate their appointment and we will bring an appointment back. We will have to go back out and notice, and we'll bring an appointment back to the board after the election.
That's interesting.
Happy to answer any questions that I can. We will take it as direction. We should notice and post and put it on the next agenda for you to take action in terms of an appointment.
Ron, when you say put it on the next agenda to take action, are you saying in 2 weeks we're supposed to appoint somebody?
You have 60 days to do so.
Okay. Just...
The date turns out to be November 2nd, the day before the election.
Good move, Bob.
you can thank your buddy over here for that. Historically, the way that this board has done it in the past, because we've had several resignations over the past 15 years, is that we put out the invitations, and then people come to a meeting, or virtually come to a meeting, explain why they believe that they're qualified to be on the board, and we listen to them, and then at a subsequent meeting, the board can put together a slate and try to select somebody, and we try to all come together as a majority, and rather than hear somebody and try to make a decision. I'm just saying it shouldn't all be done at one time is what I'm trying to say.
So, question, Rod, if there is a tie vote because we don't have an odd number of players, what's the next move?
Goes to the supervisor.
You mean a tied vote in terms of an appointment?
Yes.
Because it's 2-2?
Yes.
It's a no vote. You're required to have a quorum. And a quorum is three members, and if you only have three present, it requires a unanimous vote. If you have four members present, it requires three votes. A 2-2 vote is a no vote.
Okay.
And if it ends that way, then that would go to the supervisor to make that appointment, correct?
Well, that would be if you...
Potentially, I could argue that you could come back and redo it again, depending on the time. But if it's a no-no vote and after the 60th day, then it would go to the supervisor.
Okay. I think because of this COVID thing, we're not going to be able to interview folks face-to-face, that we should have an application, a form of some sort, so people could fill it out, name, address, give us an explanation of why they feel they would like to join the board, et cetera. So we've got something in our hands. Yes, have them participate online, and then we can discuss however many applicants we have and see if a name comes to the top that we can all agree on.
Mr. President, I completely agree with you, and when we go out for notification that there is a vacancy, we will indicate that an application, resume, bio shall be submitted, so you can review them in advance.
And Rod, are we obligated to anybody that applies, that turns in an application, has the right to speak before us, right? We don't make any decision off the written application, or can we narrow it down before it gets to that?
You would allow them to present or make comment, because it's going to be an item on the agenda, and they would be a member of the public, and so they can have their 3 minutes just like everybody else. So you can't exclude individuals that otherwise make an application.
Thank you. That was my point. If one interviews, they all interview.
Correct.
Thank you.
So if you get 100 applications, we're going to have 100 individuals presenting to the board.
Might be a long evening.
Rod, Director Coteau, I have a question.
I don't expect that you'll get 100, but I do expect you'll get 4 or 5. So, yeah, it will. But they're subject to the same 3 minutes that any public member is subject to the discretion of the president.
Rod, Director Coteau. So if I understand you correctly, besides the two incumbents, the other four candidates who are currently on the ballot, it's actually in their best interest to apply ahead of time. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to answer that question because you're asking about the best interest rather than a legal interpretation.
Okay.
Can they apply? Yes. Is it in their best interest? They have to make that decision.
Understood.
I think we need to kind of look at the calendar a little bit and see if we can pick out some dates. So if we go out, I don't know how long it would take staff to publicly notice the application process and get some applications. I'm not sure how would we distribute them. I don't know if everybody would go online, you print it off online, or we have something to hand out someplace.
We could do both in consultation with...
Mr. President, there is no requirement identified in the statute in terms of how you provide notice. You are required to provide notice, and I would recommend being more transparent than less, and I'd put it on the webpage. I know Dawn Marie is on the phone tonight. She can advertise it. It can be in the newspaper. It can be on our website. We can post notice on the door, and I think we can do that in very short order because of the time constraint with 60 days versus 61 days for the election. I think we can do that quickly and take applications as we receive them.
Yeah, I think
there is no requirement that you do it in a certain way.
Right. Go ahead.
We also have an electric sign that people see coming in Discovery Bay Boulevard. You might put a notice there to look on the website for information.
Right. I also think that we have to have a cutoff date for the applications. We've got a, what, I don't know what's anyone would deem fair and reasonable, but if we're going to put an app, put a notification out, let's just say, you think 2 days from now or a day from now? What do you think? Or 3 days?
Mr. President, I apologize. My associate, Andy Panosco, is on the phone as well, and he has just reminded me correctly that the notice has to be provided in three places. Doesn't say where, three places within the district, and that it has to be at least 15 days before the appointment would be made. So Andy is correct that that is the time frame, but I don't think it changes my opinion in terms of we can do it tomorrow, we could do it the next day. Whenever staff's able to do that, we'll figure out the three places that are best and take applications as received.
Advantage we have is that there's actually three Wednesdays this month, so there are 15 days that easily be met before the first meeting in October, which then would give us the second meeting of October to make a decision.
Well, I was just looking at that same thing. I would say that we would need to cut off the application process. My thought was at the very latest, say on a Wednesday, just because we meet on Wednesdays. Either the 16th, where we meet, they gives them 2 weeks, but if we're a little more generous, we go say the 23rd would be the last day to file an application, and then it would be on the meeting of October 7th, our first meeting in October, to see if we could reach a conclusion.
16th doesn't give you 15 days, even if you do it tomorrow, so the 16th is out.
That's what I said, if we move it to the 23rd.
Mr. President, you are correct. If I can interject, the 15 days is 15 days prior. It doesn't have a requirement for how many days it has to be out. So if you ran it tomorrow, that is within 15 days of you making the appointment. It doesn't have to be out for a certain number of days.
Oh.
So I don't want to get the 15 days confused with how long it has to run. It just has to be noticed within 15 days of the appointment.
Right. So that there's two items there. One is, yeah, we have 15 day cutoff that we have to allow the general public to know that. But for our purposes, if we want to gather applications, my thought is that we have a cutoff date of September 23rd, the last day you can put an application in, and that the first attempt to an appointment would be on our first meeting in October, which would be the 7th.
When would you do the when would you have the live interviews?
You have to have them at a meeting.
On the 7th.
Yeah.
But I would like to have time to think about what I've heard that evening before I make a decision 10 minutes after I've heard eight people talk.
You're going to have already read their application.
So, but there's nothing that would keep us from making the final decision on the 21st. That's still...
of October?
You'd have to move the cutoff date up then, right?
Would the board be interested in having a special meeting that is dedicated to the interviewing of the applicants?
I think that would probably be best.
Instead of,
I was going to make that suggestion too, but I was.
We could do all this, make the application deadline. We could do it so that you could make your pick on the first meeting in October by putting an application cutoff date, giving you an opportunity to review the application, holding a special meeting for the interviews, which would be prior to that October 7th first meeting date. So you'd have the special meeting before the first meeting in October. In October,
so
is when you would render your
that's
decision.
Fifth Wednesday, the 30th in the month, to have the special meeting?
Depends on what, it just depends on when we want to have the cutoff date. In other words, the 16th, it, the 16th too short for the general public to respond. It's actually 2 weeks. I think if you're interested, you're certainly going.
And we could actually make the cutoff date the 20th. That gives us 3 days before the special meeting to organize it and provide it to you and give you opportunity to review it before the special meeting.
That's a Sunday.
Well, whatever.
Or the 21st. Or whatever. It's just got to be, you would work backwards from the special meeting and the notice has to be out 15
right.
days before. Actually, it's before the appointment, actually.
The cutoff has to be within 15 days of the appointment, or am I still hearing that wrong?
Yeah. Mr. President, can I make a recommendation? Because I think I'm going to side with you and make a recommendation along that line.
Definitely, if you're siding with me.
So my recommendation would be that you cut off the date for application on the 21st. On the 23rd, we would take interviews. On the next meeting, first meeting in October, you could then take action.
When would we get the applications to review prior to the interviews, or would we not need those then?
Oh, you definitely need them.
Okay, so then
21st. You'd get them on the 21st.
Well, then probably the cutoff date ought to be Friday the 18th. So that staff has time to process them and get them into our hands on the 21st. Then we have the special meeting on the 23rd.
I could agree with that. The only issue would be that in order to make the 15 days prior appointment, I think we're being a little conservative by saying that the application date should at least be 15 days, but there's no statutory requirement for that. It would require us to get out notice in the next 2 days. But I'm of the opinion, and why I said I was siding with you, is the 23rd would be the date in which you would review all the applications. But on the 21st, we would close the application process, and you'd receive them after 5 o'clock. And I don't know that there's anything that staff has to do other than transmit what we have.
Right, but then when would we hold the special meeting with the phone interviews?
I'm proposing that you would not have a special meeting, that you would do it on the 23rd to do interviews, and you'd make a decision, and it would give you the entire next week and a half to make a decision as to what action you were going to take on the 7th.
So the interviews are the 23rd, which would be at a special meeting dedicated for interviews. Takes away all the other agenda items.
I apologize. Do we not have a meeting on the 23rd?
No.
That is correct.
Oh, you got it. No, we do not.
We have it on the 16th.
I apologize.
So if we
just agree with the president, he's got it back.
So you could do it, you could hold a special meeting, or you could run the application process all the way up till the end of September, take your interviews on the first meeting in October, and take your action on the second meeting in October.
Yeah, I'd prefer to do it a little sooner than that, because if for some reason, we got to have some time in there to work stuff out.
I think we should interview on the 23rd and back everything out of that.
Correct, and then gives us 2 weeks to figure out.
You okay with that, staff?
Absolutely, I understand perfectly. We'll set a deadline that's reasonable to make sure that you have the applications in hand, probably on the 21st, the 22nd at the latest. You'll do the interviews on the 20th, at a special meeting on the 23rd, and then we'll schedule the selection for the first meeting in October, which is the 7th.
Right. and that way, if for whatever reason things don't go well,
we
can
buffer.
We can even do another special meeting or whatever.
15 days.
Yeah.
And all that. We have buffers.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
All right.
Very, very well done, Mr. President. Excellent.
Well, I always love it when you have my back, Rod. All right.
I try every once in a while, Member Pease. I try every once in a while.
And that's not Member Pease, that's President Pease. Thank you very much. Okay. With that, we're going to go on to directors' reports. And the first committee report is communications. Mr. Coteau, would you please fill in the rest of the board?
The Communication Committee met earlier today. We discussed the continual analytics on the webpage as far as number of clicks and what people are clicking on. We discussed a future item. Hopefully the company that does our website can do some changes to it. Currently, if you use your cell phone, it's not as user-friendly as your desktop or your laptop. So that was pretty much the gist of what we talked about
then. Thank you. With that, we'll go to Parks and Recreation.
We already discussed everything we discussed. You heard it all right from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
It's better than the other end. Anyway, number water, wastewater, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, four items we will see on the next meeting on the 16th, I believe. Mm-hmm. That'll be coming your way. Make it very clear. Asset management program will be coming in on the agenda. AWIA, which is America's Water Infrastructure Act. It's a new requirement by the state. That's coming in for review and possible action. The diffuser update, AdVision, am I saying that right? We'll talk about the diffuser, where we are with it, what the status is, and what we have to do going forward. And the last item is in Plant 2, the UV container is a little too turbulent, and it's causing a quality issue, so there is a plan that we will get to try to resolve that in a very economical fashion.
I'm excited.
That's
I can't
it.
Wait.
And that's
see what you're missing, Bob? I can't believe it.
That's about $320,000 worth of stuff we're gonna be talking about next meeting.
I did find today
I'm waiting to send some more divers down to look at the diffuser.
I'll give you a teaser though that one of them is a $25,000 form for the state.
I believe it. And I think I know which one.
A new requirement.
Okay. That concludes the director's report. Correspondence, do we have any future agenda items?
Not other than ones that have already been indicated?
We're all futured out. Okay. I adjourn the meeting at 8:52.